This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord. Let go and let God. Hallelujah. Would you get your Bibles and stand on your feet? It's about eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Father, thank you once again for the privilege of hearing your word. Speak to our hearts. Guide us. Give us strength to walk in the principles that we learned today. We pray, God, that as you receive all the praise, we shall receive the profit. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the believer said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Would you turn your Bibles today to the book of Numbers? Numbers chapter 13. I want to commence reading at verse 31, the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and we shall commence reading at verse 31. Recorded are these words. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence for just a little while. As we recap the last portion of that verse, it says, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, what matters most is how you see yourself. What matters most is how you see yourself. I was in a business establishment taking care of business, and behind the desk was a poster. And on the poster was a brown, goldish color feline, a cat. And the cat was sitting on its hind paws, piercing through what appears to be that mirror. But what I found interesting about the picture was, the cat looking into the mirror saw in the reflection of the mirror not a feline, not a cat, but a great big lion. And I looked at it again, and I looked at the little cat sitting there looking in the mirror, and back staring at it was a great big lion. And what it said was what I'm saying to you today is, what matters most
is how you see yourself. That little cat was saying, I might look like a cat on the outside, but on the inside, you're looking at a mighty lion. And my brothers and sisters, if you get nothing else from this message today, I want you to be aware of the fact that what others say about you, what others think about you, is subject to how you see yourself. There are many folk who don't believe you're going to be who you say and God says you're going to be. You're going to do what God says you're going to do. You're going to accomplish what God says you're going to accomplish. But what matters most is not what they say, but what do you say? Look at this word today, because there are many helpful holy hints for us, many principles that we can practice and profit from. And I just want to walk through, if you don't mind, and just look at some of these things. I want to break down these verses that we're looking at just from verse 26, if you don't mind, through our ending verses. Beginning at verse 36, the spies come back with a report to Israel. And what we find out is in verses 26 and 27, we have follow-up facts, because verse 26 and 7 says this, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27 is still bringing up follow-up facts. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So here they come back, they make their report, they're bringing back the large cluster of grapes. They're showing them again the bounty of the land and how wonderfully magnanimous and magnificent it is. And they're saying, listen, we have followed up on the facts, and they are as God says they are. But look at verse 28, because in verse 28 now, they move from following up facts to fictitious findings. Verse 28 says this, nevertheless. Now this is where they forsake the facts and start making up their own. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now one of the things they surmised was the first thing, that the people be strong. They are surmising, they are supposing, they are assuming that because they are big, they are strong. But how many of you know everything that is big is not strong? And everything that's strong is not necessarily big. And so it was an assumption, it was a fictitious assumption on their part that this was the case. And so they continue on, because in verse 29, they deal with the formidable foes. The formidable foes, look at it again. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So in verse 29, they bring in their report saying, yes, the land does flow with milk and honey, but we have got giants in the land and enemies surrounding the land. There they are, they're talking about and focusing on now the formidable foes. But look again at verse 30, because here is where you begin to get a faith-filled focus. Verse 30, Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's a faith-filled focus. My brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful way, because when we look at this and recognize how important this is, Caleb is an old man, but he's an old man who has a relationship with God, who is looking at what is being said and understands what is going on, and all that he shares because he recognizes God is in control. Now, when he speaks, he's speaking from faith. And that's important, because what you've got to realize is he is basing his faith on verse 1, on the fact that what they have before them is a gift from God. Let's go back to 13 chapter and verse 1. And the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses as saying, then look at what it says, verse 2. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I, what? Give unto the children of Israel. Now he's going back to the fact, first of all, God said it. And then God has given us the instructions on how to search out our gift. Now that we've searched out our gift and recognize how wonderful it is, how magnanimous it is, he says it's time to possess it. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's one thing to see your gift, it's another thing to receive your gift. This man says, listen at this, we are not differing with the fact that the land does flow with milk and honey. We are not differing with the report of everything that you have said about the land, with the exception that the inhabitants are stronger than we. Now, again, he looks at this because these men who made this report were in the majority. He and Joshua were in the minority. Here, these two men, together with a collective witness, is basing their witness on the word of God, who, seeing through faith, field focuses on the things that God has promised and is not looking at the giants in the land, but rather focusing upon the gift that God is granting. You see, one of the things the devil wants you to do is to get so upset with the giants that you overlook the gift. Somebody didn't catch this. Let me put it this way. The devil wants you to get so upset with the problems it takes for you to get your gift till you think that the gift isn't worth getting. If you take your focus off of the gift and how wonderful it is, here's what you don't realize. Do you know why the grapes were as large as plums? Do you know why the fruit was as massive as it was? It was because that land was so great that it was able to support giants. And the giants eat giant food. I know that seems funny and humorous to you, but I'm not playing. I'm trying to help you see something. They saw giants in the flesh, but God was trying to tell them they were giants in the faith. And the giants in the faith can overcome the giants in the flesh if they would see themselves the way God saw them. And I keep telling folks, the reason why God just kept telling them about the gifts and didn't bother them about the giants was because when they finally made up their mind that they were going to possess their gifts, the giants wouldn't be no problem. As a matter of fact, their biggest problem was not the giants in the land, but the giants in their mind. So many of us do not get what God has for us because the giants in our minds are greater than the giants that we face. What matters most is how you see yourself. Now, when you go on that job interview, and there may be other folk qualified, maybe even some more qualified, and you got to know that if God said it's your job, it doesn't matter about those who are more qualified, because God can make the employer say you're over qualified. You can be under qualified, but if God said it's your job, he can give you favor with the employer and make him see something in you, listen again, that makes you more worthy to that company than just the degree that's printed in your name on that paper. Look at this word, because I want you to see something again. Verse 31 says something very interesting. Because not only in verse 30 do we have a faith-filled focus, but in verse 31, 32, and 33, we have a fear-filled focus. Fear. Fear. Some folks say fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. But it is that, and it is also focus exaggerated against reality. Focus exaggerated against reality. In other words, yes, they did see giants, but what they didn't realize was that giant was no problem for their God. They exaggerated the size of the giant in their own heart, thoughts, mind, and eyes over against the word of their God. I don't care how big your enemy is, your trouble is, your trial is, your situation is, it is nothing in comparison to the word of your God. And see, if you could ever get your eyes lifted up above the giant in your life, that problem, that situation, that circumstance, and see the God that's far greater than the giant in your life, you will then see the giant as God sees it, and that is as no consequence. Oh, the giants were real, but they were not relevant, not to the promise of God. And so what you got to understand is, if God's going to give them a giant blessing, they had to have all that was necessary to maintain it until they were ready to possess it. Listen to this word again. That was a fear-filled focus. Look at what the word says. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Caleb has quieted people down. He has quieted them down. He's brought them to a place of calm now so he can explain to them that we need to go get our blessing right now. We don't need to wait another minute longer. God has promised it to us. It belongs to us. We are greater than those who are against us because of God's promise to us. Let's go up at once and possess the land. And while Caleb is speaking, the other folk with him that went to spy out the land says, in essence, "We object. We be not." Don't listen to this old man. He's losing his mind. These people are stronger than we are. Fear started gripping their focus. And they're, listen, you know when you're scared, you start spreading scary news. And from scary eyes, you begin to relate scary scenes. And it doesn't necessarily have to be what it really is, but in your mind, it can be so much worse. Have not your mind caused you when you were scared to see something that wasn't there? You can look over in the corner and your coat is hanging on the coat rack. On the top is your cap, hat. And you look over there and lightning is flashing and it looks like a man standing in the corner. You too scared to get up and turn the lights on. And you stay there shaking and trembling till morning comes. Only to find out with the morning light it was just a coat in the corner. I don't know what your image may have been, but here is what fear does. Fear exaggerates your focus and makes it something that it is not. Devil brought all kinds of fear upon them. Nobody had done battle with giants. Not here at this point. It would be 50 years later that Caleb would go up against the giants and destroy them. The old man. Listen at this. Because what you don't realize is when you know you are who God says you are, the only one you've got to convince of that is you. Somebody didn't get that. Because once you know who you are, take notice, your enemy is going to know who you are and going to know very soon whose you are by the way that you demonstrate the power not of self, but of your source. God supernaturally will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. It matters the most, not how others see you, but how you see yourself. And so when they looked at this, I want you to see and recognize that God's word in verse 32 calls this an evil report. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come to of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Three things I want you to see about this. What made this an evil report? The first thing is that it was a faithless report. Faithless. See, when God says it is, and you say it isn't, that makes you faithless. Because God sees and God knows, and when he says it, if your faith in him cannot connect to his word, then you do not have the faith to have manifested and materialized in your life what God has said. And so it was an evil report because it was faithless. And then they had, as they began to tell the story, what was called an erroneous expressionalism. Expressionism. Here's what's important about seeing this. They got so excited about telling their story, they exaggerated and brought it all out of context based purely on emotions. I mean, when you're fearful, you're scared, you start telling the story, you start adding to the story as you tell the story. I mean, you might have started off like this, man. You start, somebody, well, what about this? Yeah, and you add that little, I didn't think about that, but yeah, you know what happened? And it just keeps going up based on emotion. You just make the, it's like the story comes alive. So that fear caused them to have erroneous expressionism. But second reason why it was an evil report, because they were fearful. Fearful. It was an evil report because they did not operate in faith, but rather in fear. And that fear caused an exaggerated excitement. Exaggerated excitement. Now, when you've got an exaggerated excitement, it is based upon what you perceive and not necessarily what is reality. And so when you have an exaggerated excitement, you get excited about what you think you see, what you think you know, as opposed to what you really know. And that exaggerated excitement just shook and stirred up the whole congregation. These folk got excited not because they saw, but because of what these people said. They were sent, the best man from each tribe, representing each tribe, went to spy out the land so they'd have proper representation from each tribe. So they expected that the representative of their tribe would bring back at least a right report to that tribe. And here, 10 of them agree with this majority leader who says, we cannot take this land, we cannot have this gift, we cannot do what God said we can do when two men said they could. And so that exaggerated excitement got the people worked up in a negative way. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you're responsible for leading, when you're responsible for representing, you've got to be beyond reproach. You've got to be at a place and point where you can bring back fair and favorable reporting. Y'all catch that on your way going home. You got to come back with, thus say the Lord, not your fears, not your heights, not your situations and circumstances of discontent and of displeasure, but rather the way the facts and faith says things are. And so it was an evil report because they were fearful. And the last thing that made the report evil was simple. It was false. And a false report is evil to God. Why is a false report evil? Because when a false report goes forth, it brings evil expectation. Evil expectation. If the report is false, then no good thing could come out of an evil report. The expectation then is spoiled, and it becomes evil, and folk expect evil. That's why you've got to be careful, young people, who you let speak into your life. That's why you've got to be careful who you get your counsel from. from. That's why you got to be careful where you eat at and eat from, what you fill your spirit man with. That's why you got to be careful, because what is deposited in you is going to have an effect on you. And if you are not getting the report as God said it, regardless of what is seen, regardless of what is heard, regardless of what is felt, if you're not getting it based on the word of God, it is an evil report. If the doctors say something different than what God says, it's an evil report. If the economist says something different than what God says, it's an evil report. I got news for you. You can believe what you want to believe, because God says, whose report will you believe? Anybody can make a report, but it doesn't mean that the report is right. What you've got to determine is what is right and what is real and what is relevant for you based on the word of God. How many of you honestly can say you can look back over your life and you miss God because you heard the wrong report? You ain't got to raise your hand. If you don't, I know that's reason enough. You went in the wrong direction because you got the wrong report. You based your decision, your buying, your this, your that, on a report that was erroneous. You lost out on a great business deal because it was a false report. You missed your blessing. You missed your breakthrough because you believed the wrong report. God called it an evil report because it was false, because it was fearful, and because it was faithless. And more than that, because it was going to impact so many other innocent people who didn't have the privilege to spy out the land like the representatives had. Listen at this. When you look and see, they had a simple assignment. If you look at verse 18, three things that the spies were ordered to find out. And I'm just recapping this as I bring it to a close. The word says, see what kind of land that Canaan was. Good or bad, fat or lean, wooded or barren. That's verses 18 through 20. What kind of people they were. Strong or weak, many or few, small or large. Thirdly, what kind of cities were there. Open or walled, and simply come back and make that report. Not make their predictions, but just the report. You see, God was not trying to say that there weren't giants, that there weren't challenges, that there weren't issues. But what he had said was, in spite of those things, it's yours. It's yours. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it wouldn't be worth having if nobody else wanted it. Giants couldn't hang out everywhere because every ecosystem couldn't supply the natural sustenance they needed for their huge bodies. So you're talking about